Hey guys, how are you doing today? Welcome to another beautiful episode of the Billionaire Habit Podcast with me, Dr. Stephen Akinta. And today I have a very special guest. We both coincidentally got the Forbes Best of Africa Award. He got in cybersecurity. I got in investment coaching and real estate. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dr. Obadare Peter Adewale.
Yeah, pleased to be here, Dr. Stephen.
How you doing?
I'm very well, thank you.
The man of the moment.
Thank you.
Everywhere I go, everybody's cybersecurity, papa, cybersecurity. You know, and you came from a very humble background. Okay, so tell us your story. How did it all start for you?
Wow. Okay, thank you very much for having me on podcast. And The story is really very long, but I'll see how I can summarize it. You know, because of time, right?
Yes.
So
Help you. So let's start with your childhood. Where were you born? How did you grow up?
Okay, so I was born and bred in Ibadan.
Okay.
So my primary school, my secondary school is actually.
Where are you from, Ibadan?
No. I'm from Osun State, Ilesha's. You know, Samanije Shaman. But my dad and mom, we live in
Ibadan.
Yeah. And of course, the old Oyo State before they carved out Osun State from. So that's actually
your primary, your secondary.
Yeah. So I attended. So my dad used to tease me that that I'm the first one to go to nursery school.
Okay.
So, you know, because I was making money at the time, they gave back to me. So I started from Victory Nursery and Primary School. But all of a sudden, of course, the money finished.
Yeah.
And I had to go to a public school. So I finished from Baptist Primary School.
Okay.
Then went to Celestial High School for my secondary school. So,
okay. You know, when did you move to Lagos?
Wow. So that's where... So coming to Lagos, you know... when I finished secondary school, so there were a lot of the background, you know, the story. Everybody had the story of I had no issue, I had no, you know, is a typical Nigerian story,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So it was really rough because while I was in growing up, in fact, I remember that every weekend, while some of my mates weekends watch movies and stuff like that, to be honest, I'll tell you facts that instead of having nice weekends.
Yeah.
I go to my with my father to farm.
Wow.
In fact, that place, you know, I'm in my teenage years. So because from GSS1, GS2, GS3, so every weekend we had to go to a place called Olugweru.
Mm.
So if you know about them very well, so Olugweru is around Eleli, but we're living in Osasami.
Okay.
So we will transport and going to do labor work with my dad.
Wow.
Farming, labor work, yeah. So even as
was
that young
farm, or you was
not. That's
employee.
Why I say labor work. So every weekend, so you see, that's the kind of teenage childhood that I have, you know. So that's to really be honest. So interestingly, so from that foundation and of struggled, but something interesting then happened. In that teenage age, I became born again in 1989.
Wow.
So,
what age was that?
I was 1989. I was born 1975. So, I think that's probably, 14. Yeah. So, 85. Yeah, that's 14. So, I don't know what happened. It changed everything.
Wow.
It changed everything in times. My worldview changed because I started to read the Bible.
Yeah.
And I knew that this poverty is actually... to be honest, so when people ask me which book is the best I should have read, I said the Bible because I was reading a lot of biblical story, how Joseph became. So it changed my worldview. Even so, going to the farm and everything. So I became a different person and I have a good relationship with the Holy Spirit. And then, so while I was going to the farm, doing those labor work, my spirit changed to say, see, this poverty.
This is like Joseph in the farm.
You understand? So that this is not how I'm going to live my life.
Wow.
And that was, the Bible shaped my worldview.
Wow.
You know, and so I already knew that, see, this is not the kind of life I want to live, right? So, and that was what happened. That when I immediately finished secondary school, they've created Osun State.
Yeah.
So my mom, she works with the High Court of Justice. They moved to Oshogbo.
Okay.
But I didn't move with them. So, because I already became independent, I see. And that's why I'm giving you the backstory mm-hmm. of what changed my worldview.
Yeah.
So, and while I went to Elisha with some of my uncle, we started to, well, the word ozu,
mm-hmm.
because doing farming and everything, the long story. See, this Nigerian story.
Do you have a farm today?
I don't have a farm today. So it was because of what has happened in the past. That's why I didn't have a farm today. Because guess what? As far back as 1992, this story of there is no fertilizer, there are no fertilizer, there are no MP. You know, those days we call it MPK. We call it, you know, has been.
Wow.
So sometimes, so Nigerian story, I don't want to go, you know, so we, the farming hustling that we did that time, in fact, we used to have like almost, as young as we were with my uncle, in fact, we had over almost like 20 acres of land. But guess what? All of them got destroyed. Then that my uncle, we innovated again. And okay, what can we do with the little money? Because as young people to make money. And before I knew, we came up with, okay, selling Maggi, because Maggi is a... is a product that everybody
home uses.
So, and that was it. And I fast forward 1993.
Yeah.
We went to Ibadan to the dealer where they sell Maggi.
Yeah.
To cut the long story short, that's how I found myself selling Maggi. From hustling farming.
Yes.
It collapsed. Yeah. Then started to sell Maggi. And I got engrossed in the Maggi business.
Wow.
In fact, so instead of going to school, I started selling Maggi. I'll come to Lagos, come and sell. And before I knew what was happening, I found myself selling Maggi on the street of Lagos.
Wow.
And precisely Eko Idumota Bridge.
Wow.
Because I find out that on the Eko Idumota Bridge, people were trooping.
Yeah.
So when, instead of selling, you know, the packet of Maggi,
individually.
So I will, in fact, I was selling Maggi that time.
Yeah.
So I will pour them. I would tell them, and I would, in fact, selling three, four, five naira, do this.
Hey.
So in, on a carton.
Yeah.
Instead of making, like, say, for instance, 20,000 naira.
Yeah.
I just find out that I discovered that I was making like 100,000 because I was selling, you know, like that.
Yes.
And so I came to Lagos by myself. My mom kicked against it because my mom was like, see, it's not this bad.
Yeah.
To be honest, to be fair to my mom.
Yeah.
Like, it's not this bad.
Yeah.
You can still go to school. But I said, see, me? And that was how I became independent. Start selling Maggi on the bridge. A lot of the, you know, Kai, that is RME. You know, today when I see people, it's sad that, because really, nothing has really changed, because, you know, the same way they're arresting people today, they were chasing us on the bridge that time. In fact, there was a day I was arrested. In fact, I was beating mercilessly. In fact, if I open my back, it's because of, you know, some of, you know, that day I was putting a black maria and everything, you know, selling on the bridge of Eko Idumota, to be honest, as far back as 1993. But the interesting thing was, don't forget, I said I became born again, my worldview.
Yes.
So I only saw it as a phase to get to where I'm going in life.
Yes.
So because the goal was, do all these hustling so that you get back to school. And you know, I think that was I came to Lagos by myself.
Wow.
And with keto slippers, but the business collapsed, which is another story for probably another day. So the business collapsed, and then when the business collapsed, because of some lack of you know, but though it was highly so successful to the extent that, in fact. But then, because of the exposure, financial illiteracy, so many other factors, and family issues as well.
You carry your capital, go and help
everything,
family.
Everything collapsed. Mm. Some personal issues that I cannot say for now.
Yeah.
Now, so I went back. I left Lagos, went back, came back to Lagos again 1997.
Okay.
And that time, guess what I came to do? Because, of course, I've lost the money for the business to do houseboy. So I did houseboy in Lagos. Because the quest to go back to school, because my mate has been in secondary school since 1992. Jesus. And 1997, I was still, there's still no bearing of what am I going to do, because there's still need for me to make money. So, and which is today that formed the framework of what I do.
Yeah.
You know, I call that framework for success for me. I call it OTS.
Okay.
Operational, tactical, and strategic.
Okay.
So, but for every, because for everything I do, that what operational means, what can I do now at least to survive, to make money, to eat, to feed myself, to clothe myself. And the easiest thing that came to mind that time was Asbar. And that was what I did.
How much were they paying you every month as a
So, you know, as I was doing the houseboy, I was lecturing physics and mathematics too. Interestingly, you know, then, you know, I was cutting with a friend in Festa because I met a very great guy.
Okay.
You know, when I came to Lagos, that's cutted. I mean, we were both living in a one-room apartment together. So, and that was how I did the houseboy. But interestingly, guess what? Mm. The truth story of Joseph actually then happened.
Wow.
Because of my integrity, my dedication, my hard work. In fact, my one day, my she's my auntie now because she actually adopted me as a brother. Yeah. So I don't want to mention her name because of privacy, but very, you know, because they were looking at me as you. You know, each time, in fact, there was a day, you know, there was a lot of people steal little things, but they find out that, you know, there was one time that I washed the clothes of the very big man in Lagos, Nigeria. Very, very big man. When I mean big man, all the people that we know. So that day, I think they gave me the clothes to wash, and I washed all of them. I saw some money inside the pocket. Guess what I did? Because I've read the Bible, integrity, how Joseph lived. You know, the Bible was like a frame of reference for me.
You.
So I packed all those money the way I saw it in all the big agbadas that I washed, and I packed them together. I just noticed that they were like, Walid, you are the first person that
will do that.
That will do this, that will pass these tests. And some people that because of $20, $10, they will steal it. I was not looking at them as in, how? I mean, I've read all these things in the Bible, integrity, holiness was something. I see, but guess what? Yeah. I became an adopted son. And that was how I was able to go back to school.
So they sponsored you to school?
Honestly, they gave me enough money.
Yes.
You understand? Yeah. To be honest, you know, working with them, it was, going back to school, was like I was living large.
Wow,
by the time I got. So interestingly, you know, because of Nigerian educational system too, and I got admission to the University of Ife for engineering physics.
Okay.
But I couldn't, because I finished 92.
Yeah.
So my English, I had P7 in English that time, you know. So by the time I wrote JAMB, honestly, I didn't know that University of Ife don't take P7. So I couldn't read. It was bad. It was a bad experience. But that was what, you know, so all the depression everybody's talking about, things have been.
Yeah.
In fact, I was depressed because like I've waited this long.
Yeah.
But because of P7, I couldn't get admitted. So I have to write. So I wrote GCE again.
And unfortunately,
I now wrote PCE then. It's for PolyJAMB. So I couldn't.
Okay.
Yeah, so I went to Federal Polytechnic Ede.
Oh, nice.
I studied electrical electronics.
Wow.
But I was already, in fact, by the time I was finishing rounding up my electrical electronics, I was already 25. And that was the game changer.
Wow.
I remembered vividly, you know, finishing OND at the age of 25.
OND, not HND.
Electrical electronics. Why a lot of people were so happy, glad that I was like, God, there must be a way out. Like my reverend mentor, Bishop Oyedepo, would say there must always be a way out.
Yes.
So that there must be a way out. So I stayed back, you know, in school then, did a personal retreat that God was the next direction for my life. So it was in that process of debriefing with myself, asking myself critical questions. Mm-hmm. That's it. 25-year OND, what are you going to do? That was when, interestingly, got exposed to computer, because earlier in that, prior to that time, because of the structure of the polytechnic structure, we went for internship. So I've been introduced to the internet for the first time during my internship
period. What year
period. Was this? That was 1999.
Okay.
You understand? So I was already introduced. So I saw, you know, those days of dial-up. I was, because I made up my mind too that I'm not going to NEPA. I was like, I wasn't sure, you know, that I'm not going
that
to.
Now your course.
So
NEPA was
electrical
like
electronics. A lot of my friends were going to NNPC. They were going to those days NEPA when it was NEPA called NEPA.
National Electrical Power Holding.
You know, they, that was what. Then people were going to NITEL. but I made up my mind because don't forget, foundation is my worldview has changed. Yeah. I wanted to do something exceptional, you know, and I'm doing something exceptional means that I have discovered with the help of the Holy Spirit that time. I see if I do, if you do, because we're talking about billionaires a bit, if you do what everybody is doing, you have common results.
Come on.
I do, and I don't want common results. So I was like opening my mind, like, okay, what is new? And computing was just being introduced, which was why I stayed. In fact, it was so bad that people were making jest of me because when the options of power was readily available, in fact, our internship was actually finishing like three weeks before I could get a place to do in a computer company. But it changed my life. I won't lie to
you. What company was that?
The company, in fact, MPOG. The MD, in fact, I still relate with my MD. In fact, it was at MPOG, you know, owned by, and I call him Uncle Jide.
Okay.
You know, Uncle Jide is actually, Uncle Jide, you know, so it changed everything. So I saw computing, I was playing with the computer for the first time.
Jide what?
I saw Ogumekon. Okay. Jide Ogumekon, yes, I'm actually proud to say his name because believe me, it was that, because he set up that platform. So it was at MPOG that I saw internet, scanned, we do dial-up. So of course, it was like somebody that was looking for success.
Wow.
So it was at MPOG, I started doing research, even my, I did the COS program, the Polytechnic COS program. So now fast tracked when I finished, during my retreat program, I knew that, see, this is the way to go. And I started to build capacity in that line. So got back to Lagos again. And then getting back to Lagos, it was, what do I need to do? Then the choice of, should you go for HND? Should you go for LASO? I mean, BSc.
Okay.
So I decided because of discrimination.
Yeah.
I went to LASO.
Okay.
So,
and then you now say computer science.
And it's for computer science because of the discrimination. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, while I was doing all of that, I started, because of my exposure at MPOG, I started doing professional exam. In fact, I wrote my first professional exam in the year 2001, which is the MCP, Microsoft Certified Professional.
Okay.
And I started writing professional. But in the midst of that, but the BSc in LASU was a part-time program.
Okay,
so you know, so while I was doing that, I got a job. I was shocked. I got a job because of the MCP.
Wow!
I actually got a system administrator job in a cyber cafe. Wow. You know, even when BSc were handy, 30K that time.
Yeah.
You know, those that I'm talking about 2001 now. When they were earning, you know, any 30K for a BSc was a lot of money. 35,000. Yeah. I got a job in a cyber cafe to earn 30K.
Wow.
I'm like, wow. So
and you were not a graduate yet.
I wasn't a graduate.
Wow.
I wasn't a graduate. So, but then the challenge came to but I think what God has done for me is every time I always debrief, and which is what I tell people, don't just run life.
Yeah.
Always take time to pause.
Yes.
Debrief with yourself.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the gifts that God gave me. So I always debrief with myself. I say, well, okay, this last week that you are running, how far? And what is going to happen? I calculated my years. By the time I will finish the LASU, I will already, in fact, I calculated that I will be 31 years old.
Wow.
I went, so I told myself that he's going to employ me.
Wow.
So that he's going to employ me, you know. So those confusion, I'm like, this thing that you're doing, I knew that, you know, there was a void that something is not connecting.
Mm.
So it was that peak. Period. It was a peak period for me in a state of topsy-turvy. I was thinking, and that was when I debriefed with myself again, and I became an accidental entrepreneur. And that was
accidental entrepreneur.
That see, this last thing will not help me.
So
I just started my own business, but it was not a business. I would call it private practice because I didn't even know what a business. I just say, let me just, which poor people call us today, you know, that private practice.
So what was your first hustle?
So the first hustle, you know, aside from selling on the bridge and the farm.
Yeah.
So now that I now have intellectual knowledge to trade with.
Yeah.
So it became like, okay, I started selling computers.
Ah.
So because of what I've learned, don't forget at MPOG.
Yes.
So those days, now today, you know, IT has become has become highly commercialized today. There's the consumerization of IT. To couple a sixth term. But that was our own innovation. Wow. Because there were very few people that would go to the market, and that time
you buy a board,
you know, a motherboard, know the kind of motherboard to buy, know the kind of hard disk and so, and because of my spirit of excellence that I got giving my life to Christ, reading the Bible, that you have to be the best of the best, you know, believe me sincerely. So when I couple my sixth term, everybody wants to buy.
Wow.
And on 1/6 term that time, I was making 100K.
Wow.
When I couple my 1/6 term, 2002,
150,000.
So imagine if I sell 10/6 term, I've already made 1.5 million. Honestly speaking. So, yeah.
Millionaire as far as 2002.
I was.
You can call you old money then.
Believe me. Oh,
wow.
If I 10/6 term, and it was easy because those compact branded system that those days, compact Dell, were expensive.
Dell,
So before I knew, I've done 1.5 million codedly.
Wow.
You understand? Codedly. And that was where I left last. So I was doing the hustling. But interestingly, going back to my past life, that's my auntie that adopted me, really. And when I was doing houseboy with them, she actually she's still in my life.
Wow.
So each time I debrief with her, she's well exposed. And so one day she called me and said, Wale, this thing you're doing private practice, there is a place. You need to learn how to run a business. Don't think it's just PP.
Yeah.
And that was how she told me about Faith Foundation.
Wow.
In fact, her name is actually Chief Mrs. Dina.
Okay.
So she told me about Faith Foundation that Wale, I say, auntie, where will I get money from? Money to go to a business school. She says, Faith Foundation, you have the best of the lecturers, the best of this, the best of that. In fact, those days when Faith Foundation, all the top executives that you know in this world,
come and teach
at Faith Foundation. So Faith Foundation, see what at Faith Foundation changed everything again in terms of my attitude towards
running a business.
So it wasn't.
So you now had to register your company.
I registered a company.
What year?
That was 2003. So the name Digital Encode. So I didn't know.
Was since 2003.
Absolutely. So
Digital
Encode. So, and how did I get the name? I was thinking about what name, you know, we wanted to use a name. Adewale and Co. You know, you don't want to have a name that is very local.
Yeah.
At some point, I got a name. You know, my name is Adewale Peter Obadare. It is Petercom Technologies. In my heart, I feel like this is sounding, you know, too local. But one day, while I was in that, my friend where I was cutting.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm good. My mom trained me well. Honestly, one of the greatest assets. I have a very good mother that trained us well.
Yeah.
You know, the virtues of, even as a man, I'm not those kind of men that they will say they will throw their socks somewhere.
Yeah.
No. You know, we grew up doing, in our house, all the men, I can cook, I can do all. So
yeah.
I was cleaning up the house in that my friend's house.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden I saw on the stereo, I just saw the name Digital Encode on the stereo. And believe me, like, wow, this sounds very
nice,
tech and nice.
Yeah.
And that was how I got the name Digital Encode, registered it. So at Faith Foundation, you know, how do you incorporate a company?
Yeah.
The concept of negotiation.
Yeah.
They brought the best.
Yeah.
In fact, one of our lecturers at the time, Mr. Peter Bankole, he taught us negotiation. He didn't know. I've told him once, but he didn't know what he did. You know, teaching us negotiation alive. You have to negotiate everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it changed my perception about business, about entrepreneurship at Faith Foundation. So it was in that moment, going through Faith Foundation, I met someone. You know, so the interesting thing about cloning the system, we're making 150. Don't forget my framework, operational, tactical. Operational means what can I do now to feed myself? Tactical means what is my goal in the next 1 to 2 years?
Mm-hmm.
And then also strategic means what do I want to achieve in the next 5 years? So I always have that framework in debriefing myself.
Yeah.
So each time I can pay my bills, I can eat, I can solve my fundamental needs. I always go back to say, okay, Wale, don't get stuck here. What do you want to do in the next 2 years? So it helped me to advance everything that I do. So, because I think the challenge with a lot of people is we all get stuck in our operational needs.
True.
When you find out, you know, which is why you see some people today, they're working in a place, They are a contract staff. You are a contract staff. But the question is, so that is your operational. He can pay for your bill at that time. But the question is, what do you want to do in the next 1-2 years, which is what I've called tactical?
Yeah.
Then what do you want to do in the long time? Yeah. Where do you see yourself?
Yeah.
I think so. For me, to the glory of God, I never get stuck in operational needs.
Yeah.
So
you're able to say, what's the next step aside selling computers?
So,
and what was the next thing?
And then because the price crashed from making 150,000 naira on a system, everybody, the knowledge became commoditized.
Yes.
It became commoditized. Everybody, Tom's Dick and Harry. But because of that framework, I'm referencing now, because of that framework, so I've already planned that in case this thing happened, what would be next? So white people were now cloning systems and it became a commodity knowledge. I was already learning networking.
Nice.
And networking became like a rocket science. It was like a rocket science.
I started
writing professional certifications on CCNA, CCMP.
Yes.
It became rocket science again.
Wow.
So white people were stuck doing that. We are those guys that will now come, okay, have you guys cloned the system? Okay, let us help you to set up your work group, your server environment. Yeah. We are doing, and we started making money again. And then it was in that period too, I went somewhere and somebody, while I was doing networking and all of those stuff, and I went and somebody configured a particular machine and they call it Linux server. And guess what? That year, just one on a machine. I said, the guy charged 500,000 naira.
For Linux server?
For Linux, to set up a Linux server. I'm like, what? They said the guy came from my brain. I opened up again. What is this technology? They said Linux. And I started to ask myself, where will I learn Linux? That was how I got introduced to the best Linux guy at that time in Nigeria.
Okay.
His name is Olusegun Akindende.
Wow.
If I went there to learn Linux, and that was how we met. If I was learning Linux in the training, I have my money, I already have my system, and he started to teach me Linux, and I'm like, wow, this guy is so... In fact, he knew Linux like... I see he was the one that actually started Linux. And that was how he told me, I said, oh, God, you know Linux this much. Have you heard about this story that somebody set up Linux and made 500,000?
Yes.
You are charging me 20,000 for training. Oh, God, where are you? And that was like, you know what? Let's come together.
I started.
And
business.
That was how we started. That was how we formed the collaboration.
Wow.
And we formed the partnership.
Wow.
And we started business. So it became a new phase for the business.
Wow.
And then, of course, don't forget, I have Digital Linko.
Yes.
He has his own company, Inverse. Yes. And then we started and all of that. And fast forward, we're doing that. We're doing Linux. In fact, there were all the cyber cafe. We're doing Linux solutions. And then, don't forget, you know, people go where the money is.
Mm.
So people too started to see, you know, and then the quest to say, don't forget operational, tactical, strategic, what's the next thing to do?
Mm.
And it was in that moment, I was doing Cisco, I started writing professional certifications, but it was still tough to get to the peak, because most of the that time I've done a lot of professional certification in networking, but most of the big projects in networking, believe me sincerely, we couldn't get them because of the big companies, and those big companies, which, you know, we value them, every time we study them, like companies like those days, in fact, Computer Warehouse Group.
Okay.
The Computer Warehouse Group of this world,
yes.
The Telnet of this world, the Weco Systems of this world, you know, the Bytrax of this world, those are big companies. And you're not saying you are Digital Encode to do major big, you know, because that was the time banks were building infrastructure. So we couldn't do it. We were losing out. I went back to debrief with myself, with the Holy Spirit, was the way out. If I was the moment of debriefing, fasting and praying, what do I do? My mind was opening that, okay. And because of the virtues of what we do too, we've been hearing the word, we don't call it cybersecurity that time, it's just general, you know, security.
Mm.
And if you really know Linux very well, Linux operating system actually comes naturally with a lot of security tools.
Yeah.
So that introduction, and we all would say something, cybersecurity, this one, that one, the exposure.
Oh, yeah.
This... You know, this was now like 2005.
Okay.
2005.
Mm.
So,
you were really ahead in this.
So, 2005, I went somewhere. And 2005, I went somewhere. I saw a flyer. So, and don't forget, I'm sorry, I keep referencing Holy Spirit. My sense of opportunity is very high. Anywhere, I don't know. Yes, people might say I'm religious, but see, only when I go somewhere, I am, my sense of sensing opportunity. So I went to a bank in marketing our Linux program, and on the desk of the head of IT of that bank, you know, it was those days we have over 80 banks.
Yeah.
And that bank is defunct now. It's actually no more. So I went there. I just saw the flyers. Enterprise Security Fast Track was one of the big consulting in Nigeria. I wanted to run that program. So I saw it. I said, sir, excuse me, sir, please, can I read through this flyer? He said, Wale, yeah. I said, are you going inside? I said, Wale, I'm not going anywhere. They just came to market us. Interestingly, I read through the flyers. I'm like, wow.
I need this.
This thing, me and Shei, my partner, yeah. This is, we play with all these tools every day. We're not making money. I ran back to meet Shei. Let's see. See what these people want to trade. She was like, so what do we do? I said, I will go to the company and I will go there and tell them that we can help them. How do they intend to facilitate the session? And that was it. I went there, you know, because I read the story of Daniel, how bold Daniel was, you know, all those biblical characters has really shaped my way I do things. So that I have to be bold, even if you tell me no.
Yeah. No, means, you know, next me, opportunity.
Yes, absolutely, Dr. Mm-hmm. Steven. That, mm-hmm. In fact, no, when you say so, for me, there's never an end. It's always a bend.
Yeah. Come on, I like
that. You know, so when you say no to me, this one that people are, you know, I love what, you know, watching some of your videos when you say that the two P's that you never have, it resonated with me, is poverty and pride.
Yes.
So for me, I tell people, see, well, if you insult me, no problem, how we go. So that was my mindset. So I went to the organization, got there, and I told them, how do you intend to do this? And they said, they have their own way to do it, but can we really do it? I said, yes. And they said, okay, that they only pay us honorarium. I said, no problem. You know, don't pay us honorarium. And believe me, my servant, Shei led that facilitation.
Wow.
And it was one of the best training that introduced us to cybersecurity.
Wow.
And we knew that this, so if we don't have we have the capability to do infrastructure business, but we do not have the capacity.
Yeah.
The capacity in times of the connections, the money involved.
Yeah.
So it was.
So through these trainings, you started building networking.
So we saw that opportunity.
Yeah.
And the opportunity there. So the next thing then was, we're not white people, because people that were coming to Nigeria doing ethical hacking, penetration testing, they were all white companies.
Wow.
And I started to do research. Why? How? What's the strength? Aside from the technical know-how, you also need, you know, because don't forget that our problem with infrastructure business was capacity.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just capability alone.
Mm-hmm.
That we need to build both capability and capacity for this. Mm-hmm. And that was how. Said, okay, for us, the capacity is, we need good name.
Yeah.
You need good brand.
Yeah.
You need, people need to know who are you.
Yeah.
And we started to research, okay, what certifications.
Yeah.
And that was how the research started. And before I knew what was happening, I went to India. I became the first licensed penetration tester in Africa. In Africa.
Wow.
So to hand that credential, we already know the job. But the challenge is, people will ask you are black.
What does penetration testing mean?
So penetration testing, it's a process of discovering loophole in a very simple language, weaknesses within the system.
Yeah.
Because all those hackers,
yes,
before, and hackers are not spirits.
Yeah.
And it's not like they are better than anybody. Just because before an hacker will penetrate into any kind of network or system, it's because there's a loophole.
Wow.
So what penetration tested, what they do is they help you to use their methodologies, their tools and techniques to check, to see, there are loopholes here, fix it. There are loopholes here.
I was able to assess your email and see everything you have because there was this loophole.
Absolutely. So that's what penetration, and I hand that, you know, so I hand that credential.
You're the first.
I was the first. In fact, EC Council licensed penetration tester.
Again.
In Africa, not just Nigeria. and the market began.
Yeah.
And that leveraged you. Before I knew what was happening, I was able to, you know, with that credentials,
yeah.
apply to the US for a conference. I went to, became, you know, the first Qualys partner in Nigeria. That Qualys is one of the biggest vulnerability management tool in the world. So I became a partner, and that was how the business of cybersecurity started for us as Digital Encode.
Wow.
Yeah. That was.
I feel like clapping. Were you in the course of doing cybersecurity? I mean, did you, because you were so early with this whole technology thing. Crypto is also a new technology.
Yes.
You know, did you at some point cross paths with crypto?
Yes, absolutely. In fact, interestingly, because of what we've done, we did a lot myself, you know, a lot in cybersecurity. In fact, I can tell you that when I'm talking about pioneering, myself and Dolisie Akinde, they actually pioneer
the cybersecurity industry in Africa.
Honest. It doesn't become controversial. But in this Nigeria, we did a lot of pioneering work. Of course, with some very good minds that were working in other organizations, good organizations at that time, but were early.
So it means over 50% of the banks started become were your clients.
It wasn't that easy.
Okay.
It wasn't that easy. So, to be honest, because of time, I was just trying to rush a lot of things. So, it wasn't that easy because when that came, even when I hand the credential license penetration tester, it wasn't like it became automatic that people started giving us business.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, it became like suddenly people like, wow, these guys that we were not paying attention to,
and
let's watch out for them.
Yeah, they're a competition.
And how do we crush them?
Wow.
And how do we crush them? So that was actually, I'm being honest with you.
Wow.
And then I went back to debrief with myself. I've been honest. That's the way I live my life. That wow. So all of a sudden you're saying like, oh, if you're not careful, you can actually be crushed because number one, but then we were determined that we will never be crushed.
Wow.
So while we're building the technical know-how, I told myself, and the Holy Spirit inspired me to see, the best way, number one, to fight back is bringing all the arsenal to shatter these glass ceilings. Because fundamentally, don't forget, we're black.
Yeah.
We're Nigerians.
Yeah.
And then we jokingly tell ourselves, myself and my partner, that we're vertically challenged.
Okay.
Because when we appear somewhere, you can imagine my height now.
Yes.
And imagine my height those years.
Yes.
So the best, and do this, I say, Wale. And you know, I go to winners. And I've listened to a lot of Bishop Oyedepo's messages and everything. You know, I watch his life.
Yeah.
How, you know, he has shattered a lot of glass ceilings. Yeah. So I told myself, the only way.
And he's also vertically challenged. So you share that in common.
And that was when the concept of knowledge banking, you know, because I hear you say land banking all the time. Each time I smiled.
Yeah.
And that was when the Holy Spirit said, knowledge banking. I'm like, knowledge
banking. I'm hearing that for the first time.
So knowledge banking, that the easy, for everyone, that easiest tradable asset in this world is knowledge.
Mm.
So that Wale fight back with knowledge.
Mm.
And I said, how? I started to write professional certifications. And that time, I said, for today, I have 58 professional certifications. 58 professional certifications.
Jesus.
And not just having the certification.
Jesus.
Make sure you can defend all your certificates. So you can imagine that those days I have 30, some people are still struggling with two certifications. So despite that we're vertically challenged, but don't forget with the emphasis, there's a balance between knowing the job.
Knowledge bank.
Knowledge. Knowing the job, knowing the job, practically speaking, and then what they now say, because sometimes what they were now using against us is, where are their credentials?
Exactly.
Who are they? Yeah. Are you sure they are not hackers?
Yeah.
Are you sure they are not Yahoo? Are you sure they are not this? They wanted to be using all of to discredit us. But when they see, when you now see our profile at that time, people will know, they will be expecting one big, tall, big company. Yeah. And the moment now appears, you mean you are the
That has all this.
And interestingly,
yeah,
while they're looking at the certificate, yeah, we now know the job.
Come on.
So it wasn't like a situation by, oh, you have the certificate, you do not know the job.
Perceived value plus actual value cost to consistent cash flow. That's my quote. So you just proved that now.
You know, so it was, and it was, you know, and that was it. And while, interestingly, while we're doing that too,
yeah,
while we're doing all of that,
yeah,
we started getting traction. With those and technical certifications.
Yes.
With those technical certifications, then all of
so this, where did crypto come in?
So the it was so I'm trying to drive how crypto came in.
Yes.
So it so we started getting traction, we're doing presentation everywhere, all the banks. We were in fact our mantra at that time was information security made simple. We're breaking down big things that people do not understand. So yeah, everywhere we're opening their eyes, and that was how we got introduced to the central bank. It was one conference that, you know, and getting into that conference is another story for another day, because getting to that story, I saw it in the newspaper that the Central Bank of Nigeria is having a program on payment in, electronic payment insecurity in Nigeria. And I saw it in the newspaper because I always go to the vendors those days. You know, now electronic version of most of it. So I'll go. So I went, I saw this conference, and I they said, before we can speak in the conference, we have to pay. I said, if I myself and my partner, of course, we fall, because we was wondering, why are you crazy?
Why do you want? I said, guy, go and speak at the conference.
At the conference, we paid.
Wow.
I told him that, guy, we fought, but I told him that, guy, if I didn't, he didn't support me, I paid.
Wow.
And guess what? They told us in that conference that they only give us 2 minutes. And our 2 minutes turned to, let me not exaggerate, I think it's more than 20, it was more than 20 minutes.
Wow.
They didn't want us to stop.
Wow.
We opened up all the issues the banks were having,
yeah,
and that was how we got introduced. So we became technical partner to the Central Bank of Nigeria.
Wow.
So there's a forum called Nigeria Electronic Fraud Forum.
Wow.
So it was in a process of being partnership with Central Bank of Nigeria. So one day, we're always like the think tank for the Central Bank on issue around security, electronic fraud, cybersecurity, and CBN just called us one day. That's it. That they are hearing that some people using something, cryptocurrency, something. We did not know about it too before. Yes. And of course, because of our nature of doing research.
We'll go and do research.
And that was how, for the first time, we're like, wow.
Yeah.
Really? So there's actually something blockchain, cryptocurrency, Bitcoin, and all of
what
that.
What year was this?
This was 2013.
2013. How much was Bitcoin then?
Believe me, at that time, it was funny because Bitcoin, even, of course, it was, people would say it was becoming expensive, but yeah, Bitcoin was becoming like $400.
To one Bitcoin.
Yeah, to one Bitcoin. In fact, Ethereum just launched. Ethereum was like one. In fact, the day Ethereum moved from $1 to $10, I remember in our office that day, we were just, you know, yeah. It was, and of course, believe me, sincerely, a lot of people were like, no. Oh, you know, it was people.
How
were
many
like,
Bitcoin did you buy?
No, there is a non-disclosure. there is a non-disclosure.
How many Ethereum? Okay, forget Bitcoin. How many Ethereum?
There
did
is
you
a
buy?
Non-disclosure, but let's just say we thank the Lord. You know,
when I put him on Billionaire Happy Podcast, I knew what I was doing, guys. Okay.
So, but believe me, sincerely, the Ethereum that you're seeing at $3,000 today.
Wow.
I can tell you vividly when Ethereum
was $1.
Even that time, those guys were thinking it was expensive because Ethereum started from 0.000. But I can tell you vividly, $1, $10. In fact, as at March 2020, during the COVID, Ethereum was still, price was still even dragging between $90. This COVID, 2020 year, $90. Because on my 45th birthday, I remember, Ethereum crashed to $80 that day. We're just joking that all this thing, I just hope this thing will not become it will zero rise.
Wow.
But look at everything has blown up today. So there's always the early mover advantage in every industry.
Yes.
So, which is why for me at every point in time, I tell people, I have, aside from that framework of operational tactical and strategy, I call it cash box. Knowledge, attitude, your skill, and your habits.
Come on.
You see, they are pivotal.
Say it again.
You know, cash box, your cash is K-A-S-H.
Mm-hmm.
So knowledge, attitude,
yes,
your skills,
yeah,
and then also your habits.
Your habits, yes.
So if you want to become, so easy, it can make you, because your knowledge, like I said earlier, is the easiest, most tradable asset.
Yes.
You understand?
If you have it, you can trade it. If you have
knowledge, well, the problem with people with knowledge is because knowledge becomes commoditized easily.
Yeah, yeah.
So you are, so which is actually my own passion for continuous learning.
Yes.
So that you are not selling.
Yes, old knowledge. And a lot of people get arrogant so early because they know, and they don't know that if you're not careful, the current, so-called current knowledge has become an old one.
In fact, in my knowledge banking principle, in a framework that I'm developing now, knowledge can actually become a curse than a blessing, which is exactly what you just described now, because knowledge become a curse when you are still thriving in your old knowledge.
Yes.
Things have moved. Imagine if I'm still, just imagine if I'm still selling computer.
Computer.
Cloning. I can tell you that I won't be able to pay my rent in. Where is the? I'm sure I can't even live in Festac. Maybe I will have moved back to Oshogbo. Well, you understand.
True.
To be honest,
that's very true.
So you see, knowledge can become
very true.
So you need so because your knowledge of whatever you do is your most greatest asset.
Wow. But and it must be continuous.
It must be continuous. Because
no wonder you have 50.
I have 58 professionals. In fact, the exam I'm going to do next week, I already know it. To be honest. Even as now.
Exam next week again.
In fact, I can tell you that I'm going to, yeah. So when people are saying they're competing with me, I'm laughing because you don't know that.
I think with you, I'm ready to go back to tech. I'm trying to go back to tech, but I need a partner. So with you, maybe
I can be your accountability partner.
No, not accountability partner. I need a partner because I have understanding. I mean, I started with digital marketing. We built over 5,000 websites in this country.
Wow.
At some point, the same way you pioneer cybersecurity, we're like the pioneer for social media, digital marketing, email marketing, all of that in this country, blogging, when I visited Silicon Valley, finally it was tech that made me to quit too. When I visited Silicon Valley, I saw how big their campus was, Google campus, Facebook campus, over, I think, 200 acres. And I'm like, are you kidding me? These guys are big on real estate. So, you know what? Let's go back to real estate. And I don't have regret, but now I'm ready to go back. But I think I need a partner that had not left.
No problem.
That field, right? So that, because I have a lot of areas that I'm sure will make money. So
and in connecting the dot, because there's actually a similarity between knowledge banking and land banking.
Okay, please.
So I tell young people, you know, because today, you know, you are a big time mogul in real estate.
Yeah.
Some of your properties, these the billionaires that can afford them.
Like you.
Well, yes.
Billionaires like you.
I'm not denying it. No, but you know, but for young people, your knowledge can accelerate. You know, when you invest in knowledge, because if you have 400,000 today, you can't, maybe the kind of land you buy, I don't know whether they even sell land of 400,000 in my village because things are so expensive.
Yes.
But imagine even a 100,000 investment in the right knowledge can advance your life. So that's why it's called banking. So you're investing in knowledge as you're making money, because today too, that's why you see those guys in Silicon Valley, they didn't make their money from real estate. They make it from knowledge.
Yes.
The Microsoft of this world.
Yes.
So they traded
the knowledge.
And then now investing
asset.
In like, absolutely. So and that's my principles too. So we made money in knowledge. Of course, the only thing that is also real.
Let me call our manager. Now that you have made money in knowledge. Oh yeah, come and invest in our real estate.
We are ready. So there is always that integration between knowledge banking.
That's true.
And land banking. Because when you make knowledge, if you are a discipline, you move that
and
money.
And you did that. You have invested a lot of real estate. So, you know, being able to move some of that into real estate. But do you think a lot of young people don't do that these days? Where you see young tech guys, they're making money in dollars and they want to live in rented apartment in Ikoyi and they're not thinking of tomorrow.
Yeah, because they don't understand that a lot of times they want to have it all today.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, it takes a lot and it takes a lot of discipline to really understand that, you know, that sometimes the law of delay gratification, it's a principle that will be there forever till Jesus comes.
Yeah.
So that's what a lot of tech executives don't understand. They want to live a fast life.
Yeah.
You know, because, and I'll give you a quick story because that was what helped me too in my knowledge banking to now be able to say, Wally, as you're doing knowledge banking, you need to diversify to land banking.
Yes.
Because one day, one of I have a lot of my mentors were just talking about a very big man. Mm. I always give his driver money every weekend. You know, he was living anyhow.
Wow.
So one day, they were going somewhere and the driver just said, Oga, please, can we pass through Ikorodu? Mm. You know, he begged him. They were coming all from Lagos area, Lagos Ibadan Expressway. They wanted to draw something at home. Being a very good boss. Said, okay, no problem. Yeah. Let's go. I will oblige you.
Mm. It's good to even know your house.
House to even
park.
I see we were there.
Yes.
And they got there. This man was, he saw the way they were greeting his driver. Yeah. Everybody, like, daddy, welcome. You know, he was taken aback. He was shocked.
Yeah.
True life story.
Wow.
He was like, four bedroom.
The duplex.
No, flat. He has tenants. He's only taking
one of the units. He probably did 10.
So you were, then I said, call his, when they were driving, that I, what happened? I saw they were greeting you the way some people are saying, everybody, why, what are you doing? And the driver smiles, got a lunch for 1 year, spoke in Yoruba, that's what God has done.
Did.
He said, what did he say? the boss wanted to collapse, sir. And started to lash you, useless man. So, me, I will be giving you 20,000 every week. He said, sir, all those 20,000, you imagine those days.
Yes,
that's what I was using to buy.
Land, I was building.
I was, you know.
You,
was,
the yoga. Yeah,
that was what he now said. That, you know, you can't live in those places.
You can't live in the Korodu.
That was what changed that man. He abused the driver that you. I will be using my money to drink vodka. I'm not saying people should not drink vodka, but I'm just saying, you know, because of the question that you asked, that today youths want to live a fast life.
Yeah.
They want to wear the Balenciaga.
Cameraman, are you
there? They need to learn that we have all of those things.
Yes.
But prioritize.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, they said that money is like
it has wings.
I don't believe that, but what they literally mean is that if you mismanage your life,
come on,
if you mismanage your life,
come
in
on.
The future, it will meet you. If you instead of I didn't start to live in those luxury places too. You have to start from somewhere.
Yeah,
you have to start from somewhere, and I just starting from somewhere
gradually.
Using that principle, you know. Delay gratification. Agree. In fact, sometimes today people look, you drive a G-Class. I smiled. Sir, I want to be like you. But Dr. Steven, I drove Mazda. Do you know Mazda? Mazda MPV.
I drove Mazda for
10 years.
Wow.
In fact, those days, one of our friends, one of my friends has staffed my Mazda one. He Wally, shall like on my driver, my motor is shisha. I'm telling you a true life story.
Wow.
Delayed gratification, because those times it wasn't like I didn't have money to buy the big car.
Yes.
But I was spending. If I
come on.
But I tell you how much I spent going to school. I have an AMP from MIT Sloan. I've gone to Harvard Business School. I've spent over 500 million going to school.
500 million naira.
500 million naira. Going to school.
I think that should be the title of this production.
I have spent over 500. If I'm doing a master. Another master's currently now at Oxford Business School, because of the exchange rate and everything is almost, if you do the math, is almost, that master's alone is almost like 120 million. So you see, so those, aside from all the certifications, some of them, you know, but I was driving Mazda. But I told that guy that did, I said, this, don't worry, you will know my taste.
Very soon. I like that. You will know my taste very soon. Give it time.
Just give it time.
Give it time. You will soon know my taste.
Yeah.
And at that point, you would probably be the one to say, you too like luxury. Luxury or not?
So, and that is actually what is happening now, because all of them, that's what the youth are now seeing. They see you now flying everywhere, going up and down. You know, but those days when I started going to my first Indian trip to go and get the license penetration tester, Dr. Steven.
Hmm.
I didn't have money to eat. It was the complimentary 7-Up they were giving in the hotel. So I would drink the 7-Up as they are giving me the complimentary 7-Up. But what people see today is now the luxury. Wow. This man is everywhere. But the truth is, there is historical.
How do you feel about being awarded by Forbes? You know, the Forbes Best of Africa Award in cybersecurity. How did you feel? We're together in the hall. Well, how do you feel? I feel good, but
You know, feeling good is an understatement. You know, because what I'm saying that is, I remember a long time ago, I was in service and Bishop Oyedepo was preaching and he was referencing David Green as the biblical billionaire.
Yeah,
and I will never forget. I remember that time.
Yeah.
I wrote my name and I said, Wally, you one day you'll become a biblical billionaire as well.
Wow.
So, you know, fast forward, I've won over to be honest with you, like 75 awards.
Which is your favorite?
To be honest, I was elated the day I won the Forbes Best of Africa.
So it's your favorite?
And I won't lie to you because it's my favorite because it was something that I have envisaged. And that moment was the day I will never forget because I knew that, wow, so really, so this is it.
Yeah.
Do you understand? Yeah. And believe me sincerely, not trying to be...
need to market that award. I think a lot of people thought I was the only one that was awarded that night because me it was all over. you guys did not push, you know, yours. So we need to do a PR campaign around...
No problem.
Just that award because I was really shocked at the success, the impact, and how and it's funny how you've raised over 2,000 people in this same cybersecurity.
Yeah, because I've been doing mentoring a long time.
Wow.
Yeah, mentoring in the sense that because it aligns with my mantra for life.
Yeah.
My mantra in life is it's like, if you light another light, it does not diminish your own light.
Come on.
It does not in any way. So each time I write an exam, all my friends, all the people, they know that this exam, you better write this exam. In fact, people know that. Better go and write this exam. Oh, you know, so
maybe this is the first partnership. We just got a new office in Houston, Katy, $1.6 million. You know, huge. We just bought it.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you. And I think maybe we'll open a cyber security training there and every other IT training. And I think we should partner with that. Let's start there.
Let's do it.
There are a lot of Nigerians who migrate and are not sure what they want to even do and how to get a good job and areas they need to get skill. You know, I think we may start there.
So because training and to be honest, I think it's a great plan because the world actually, there's a shortage of cybersecurity professionals, even with all the things everybody's doing.
Yes.
Like the world needs in excess of extra more, 4 million
cyber. Not even with AI coming out now.
Absolutely.
There's even a higher threat, with AI.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
Your story is amazing and thank you for sharing. Thank you for coming on this platform and being of value to everyone watching. And I wish you even greater, greater success.
Thank you, Dr. Steve.
Dr. Thank you for having me. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Guys, this has been a beautiful episode of the Billionaire Habits podcast with me. Till we see you next week. Bye-bye.